Hi, Nico. Oh, here's me. I should take this off. I look normal. Oh, bad way. Okay, there are people in the room. Okay. So I should put this close. By the way, you see? Okay. Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. We mentioned the other day that Baal HaMor, in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, writes that Bizman HaGemara, they only blew shofar in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz. They didn't have the institution of what we call Tkiyas D'Miyushah peace. The Baal HaMor claims that when the Gemara says in the first parak of Rosh Hashanah, that we blow tkiyas the miyushim, tkiyas the miyumad. So we usually assume tkiyas the miyushim means the tkiyas after the haftarah, before musaf, and tkiyas the miyumad is in the middle of the amidah, the tkiyas in the middle of the chazaras hashatz. So the Baal HaMor does not learn like that. Baal HaMor learns tkiyas the miyushav when there's bikurim in the shul, means the tkiyas in the middle of chazaras hashatz. And everybody's sitting in their seat, that's called tkiyas the miyushim. Tkiyas the miyumad. When everybody's putting away the talis, putting away the sidur, and walking out of shul, everybody's roaming around, strolling around. That's what he calls the kids in the yom. He says that in the days of the Gaonim, when they introduced many piyutim in the Chazaras HaShatz, so the davening took many hours. So a lot of people, couldn't wait till the end of the davening. They had to eat earlier. The davening ends at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. It ends very late. So that's why they introduce. So since they're not going to stay till the end of Shofaris, so they're not going to hear the tkiyas. So that's when they introduce the tkiyas before Musaf. So whoever has to leave early has already heard tkiyas Shofaris. So the Baal HaMor says that no bracha kitzara. He didn't say bracha shekadoshana b'mitzvah l'shmaya kol shofar in the days of the Gemara because the tkiyas were for the mitzvah of shofar. Was being fulfilled in the middle of the framework of the brachas, just like this was the mashal of the nesivos and in the hakdamah, his haggadah that's called ma'aseh nisim. So just like if one fulfills the mitzvah deraisa of birchas hamazon or the mitzvah deraisa of kiddush or the mitzvah derabbanan of saying shahakal over a cup of tea, so the chachamim never introduced the birchas hamitzvah in advance as shekadoshan mitzvah sitzvano levarach al ha'ichlem or something like that. Well, the Kaddish is HaShabbos, because the mitzvah itself is being fulfilled in the form of a bracha. So even if the mitzvah itself is not being fulfilled in the form of a bracha, but it's rather being fulfilled within the framework of brachas, also there's no bichas HaMitzvah. So that's why he says, when you blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, it's in the middle of the Malchus Chen HaShofar, so there's no bichas HaMitzvah. So the Ramban there disagrees with Baal HaMor. He says, how can you say that the bracha didn't exist in the days of the Gemara? Every single person davened in shul. There was some people who davened at home. Some people were davening b'chidus. Cholim is kenim. Can't go to shul. So when you're blowing shofar for that private person, it's not going to be. The Gemara says tkiyas in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei is only when you daven b'tzibur. When you daven b'yachid, even if the person is a baal takeh, or even if he has a baal takeh who's at his service, who's prepared to blow in the middle of the tefillah b'lachash of the yachid, you don't do that. You don't blow in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei for a yochid. So you're going to blow. So this is Machlekes Rashi and the Ram. When does the yochid blow? If he has a choice. A lot of times he has no choice. When the Baal Tekeh will come, he'll have to daven Musaf. And then he'll have to make Kiddush and eat. And then the Baal Tekeh made up. He'll come to visit him at home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He has no choice. He has to wait till 4 o'clock. But if the person has his own shofar and he's davening b'yichidus, he knows how to blow shofar. Is it preferable that he should blow right before Musaf or right after Musaf? Should he can't blow in the middle of Musaf. The Gemara seems to say that's not right. A yochid doesn't blow in the middle of Tfilah Belachash. Only B'tzibur you blow. So the Ramah Paschans, like the Rambam, that the best time to blow, if you have the option, is immediately before you're about to start Musaf, so that the tkiyas relate to the Malchus Chayinu Shofar. Mishnah Berurah quotes that Rashi doesn't agree. Rashi holds that the best time to blow for the yochid is right after you finish the Shmoneh Esrei, but not in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei. So the Ramban argues, and the Malchamah is the end of Rosh Hashanah, He says, what do you mean in the days of Gemara, every single person heard tkiyas and shul? There were some people who stayed home. There always been every generation. There are people who can't go to shul. So when they, so when the yochid would blow the yechidus, he certainly would say, bracha l'shma kol shofar. How can the Balamor say, there never was a bracha k'tzor on tkiyas shofar? That's one time. Then he has another taina. He says, the whole idea of the Balamor is wrong. And he proves it from Duchani, that we Duchen in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, and nonetheless the coin says a bracha shekirishan b'kedushas shalom sivan alachas habisal bi'ahagwa. So why do we have a bracha k'tzor if it's in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz? It's within the framework of bracha. So you see that the whole Balamor is wrong. So that's what we mentioned the other day. I think I don't remember if we finished the whole word. The Meiri raises the question on that Gemara. There's a Gemara Megillah, the end of Megillah, Chavava, something like that. Chav Zayin, different Tanoim and Amoraim lived to a ripe old age. And the Talmidim asked each one of them, B'meh harach teyamim, what do you attribute your longevity to? They assumed it's not that he drank schnapps every day, or he walked 5 miles every day, or he was jogging or something. They attributed the long life to some Midas Chassidus or another. Each one says a different Midas Chassidus. One of the Tanaim says his Midas Chassidus was that when he was a Kohen, whatever he would duchen, he would always recite the bracha in advance of the duchening. So the Meiri poses the question, that's the halacha, that's the din, that's not a Midas Chassidus. So why does he deserve to live to an Arichas Yomim? B'meh harach the Yomim, because of the Midas Chassidus of reciting a bracha of the duchening, then requires kol ha-mitzvos kulam avarach aleihem oyv lasi asam. So the Nitziv says that that's the answer, that the Balamor is really right. And we mentioned the Tamir Ben Yoina on the first daf. Maybe that's what we left off yesterday. Tamir Ben Yoina on the first daf in Brachas, where he quotes in the name of the Rav Haigoin that if a person davens Ma'arev to Tzeisa Kachovim and is Yoitze Kriyashma, so then there's no need to recite a Bracha Shekinishanam and Tzatzitzvanu. Likra esashma. Why? Because the Kriya Shema is the mitzvah. Kriya Shema is being fulfilled within the framework of brachas in the middle of brachas Kriya Shema. But if he's davening ma'ariv early before tzeis, then he's going to have to repeat according to the first mishnah in brachas. Rashi and Taisus defend the minhag. The minhag of the Rashi and the Balei Taisus was that they daven ma'ariv early and they didn't repeat Kriya Shema later. They said Kriya Shema Lamita for Shmira Men HaMazikin, but they didn't repeat the whole Kriya Shema because of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, only for the Shmira Men HaMazikin. So Rashi, so Taisus defends the practice. Taisus says, well, Yotze the Kriya Shema. We don't paskin like the Mishnah. The first Mishnah in Brachin says, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema unless you read Kriya Shema after Taisus HaKachav. So Rashi does not defend the minute. Rashi says, that's why we recite Kriya Shema Lamita, because we weren't yotze with the Kriya Shema in shul. And Taisa defends the practice that Taisa says, it can't be that we yotze the Kriya Shema Lamita. Kriya Shema Lamita, you only say Parsha Vishayna. And if you said Kriya Shema before Taisa Kochavim, you have to repeat the Kriya Shema later. So you have to say all the three Parshas, or at least the first two Parshas. Maybe Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim, that doesn't really need Laila, maybe just means the mantis goes and says, "Chamir tzan kol yimechayecha, yimechayecha hayamim, kol yimechayecha halelos." So it doesn't really say in the Chumash you have to mention Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every day by Laila. It's learned that from the word kol, a ribui. Kol yimechayecha hayamim, we have to say the third parsha of Vayomer, third parsha of Shema every day in the morning. And the word kol is marba, another zman. So the other zman is after the shkia, is another zman. That's what Rabbi Yoina says. So even though Ben Ashmash is the suffix, I'm suffix lailom, and you would have to repeat Kriya Shema is the first two parshas. Shema v'yom shamaya says b'shach b'chav kumecha means b'yom b'lailom. So since Ben Ashmash is the suffix, I'm suffix lailom, the suffix that Rashi luchum, you would have to repeat the first two parshas. But the third parsha is only for, it's not for the sake of b'shach b'chav kumecha. That's for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that doesn't really say that you have to say Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim b'alayla. It says you have to recite Kriya Shema in additional time zone. Kol Yimechayecha is Marbe Kol Lohavi another Zman. After the Shkia is already another Zman. Okay. But by creation, Tosis argues on Rashi, Kriyash Malamit, you don't say the first parsha. Here you would have to say the first two parshas. So the Achrayim all assume that according to Rashi, Rashi holds that Kriyash Madarais is only parsha Rishayna. Parsha Shnia, when it says, L'martimos has benechem, M'shoch b'chob kumecho, it goes on Talmud Torah in general. It doesn't go on Kriyash Ma. And the first parsha, it says, V'shinat malonecho, etc., di bartabom, M'shoch b'chob kumecho, that's referring to the mitzvah Kriyash Ma. But L'martimos has benechem, that's not the mitzvah Kriyash Ma. With the Rabbanon, you have to say the second parsha also. But with the Rabbanon, Bein Hashmash, it says, Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. So Sofik the Rabbanon Lekula. You would be Yotze, the second parsha, if you said it before Tzeis HaKochav. But the first parsha is the Raisa, Rishma the Raisa. That you're not Yotze, if you say before Tzeis HaKochav. So that's the Pshat and Rashi. The first Rashi in Brachas, why? You're not Yotze with the Kriya Shema that you say in Shul, because the practice of the Rashi and the Bali HaTosfos was that they used to daven Ma'ariv right after the Shkia during Bein Hashmash. They didn't wait until Tzeis HaKochav. So Tosfos defends the practice, and Tosfos says, we don't pass on like the Mishnah. Mishnah, the first Mishnah, Bracha says, you can fulfill the mitzvah Kriya Shema until Tzeis HaKochavim. But Tosfos says, we don't pass on like that. We pass on like the other Tanoim and the Gemara, that you're Yotze even before Tzeis HaKochav. The Bali HaTosfos had such old minhagim. They felt that their minhagim take precedence over the Psak and the Gemara. They must have had a different tradition. There were the Shtei Yeshivas. There was Sura in Pumpadisa in Bavel. And apparently they had their traditions from another yeshiva. The Talmud Bavli doesn't write that this is a lot of times has tradition. They insist that the halacha is like their traditions. So here also the Tosfos says like that. So again, so the Rabbi Yoina on the first page in the Rif in Brachas quotes from the Rav Haigoin that if one daven Ma'ariv early before Tzeis HaKochavim, he has to repeat Kriya Shema later, not like Tosfos, rather like Rashi. You have to repeat Kriya Shema. When you repeat the Kriya Shema, then you have to say a Bracha Asher Kedushana B'mitzvah Yisav Tzivanu Likros Hashma. So the Rabbi Yoina says he doesn't understand what's the difference whether you daven Ma'ariv Bizman, then you don't say the bracha k'tzora. Shekhidishanam is asvan likros hashma. Why not? And if you daven ma'ariv too early and then you weren't yotze kriya shma, you have to repeat the parshas later, then you have to say the bracha shekhidishanam is asvan likros hashma. Why does it make a difference whether you daven ma'ariv bizman or not? So that's what the Nitziv explains. Rav Soloveitchik used to say this over. The Nitziv explains, it's like this balamor. If you recite kriya shma, if you daven ma'ariv bizman, after tzeis, then you're fulfilling the mitzvah kriya shma, al seder abrachas, within the framework of the brachas kriya shma. So whatever a mitzvah is being fulfilled within the framework of brachas, just like you don't recite the brachas ha-mitzvah before reciting brachas ha-mazon or before reciting kiddush, because the mitzvah is being fulfilled in the form of a bracha, so too you don't have to recite a bracha if the mitzvah is being fulfilled within the framework of brachas. But if you daven too early and you weren't yotze kriya shma, then you have to say Kriya Shema again later, but you're not going to repeat the Bichas Kriya Shema. So then you have to say a Bichas HaMitzvah. If you daven Ma'ariv after Tzeis and you're fulfilling the mitzvah Kriya Shema within the framework of brachas, then you don't need a Bichas HaMitzvah. But if you're repeating Kriya Shema not within the framework of the Bichas Kriya Shema, Bichas Kriya Shema you were yotze when you daven Ma'ariv earlier. So then you have to say bracha shekadoshana b'satzitzvan olikros hashma. So the Nitziv writes this, he quotes the Balamor, and he quotes this Rabbi Yoina, who b'shem Rav Haigoin on the first daf and the first page in the Rif. The Rabbi Yoina says he doesn't understand what the Rav Haigoin says. So the Nitziv said, that's what he said. He said the same as the Balamor. So he says, that was the Midas Chassidus of this Tana. He says, I'm a Kohen, and every time I would do Chana, I would say a Brocha. Why is it a Midas Chassidus? That's the Meiri's question. So the Nitziv says, because Meikar Adin, you don't have to recite the Birchas HaMitzvah, because the mitzvah, the Siyas Kapayim, Kos Baruch Hu's Birchas HaMitzvah, Duchening is being fulfilled within the framework of the Chazoras HaShatz of the Chazan. So Mikra Adin, there's no need for a bracha. So this was Amidas Chasidus on the part of this Tana, that he had the practice, he always said a bracha. Well, how come? Why did he say a bracha? So he said that Itzib says, I think he explains, is based on a passage in the Zohar, that says, whenever you're about to give a bracha to a basar v'dam, you should always preceded, always give as an introduction, first give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a Gemara in the Dorim. The Gemara says in the Dorim that when Avraham Avinu won the war, there was the war of the four kings against the five kings. So the four kings were more powerful than the five kings. So one of the five towns that lost the war was Sodom. And Lot was Avraham Avinu's nephew, and he lived in Sodom. So he was taken captive. So when Vayava HaPolet Vayagil Avram, Kinish Ba'achiv, that his nephew was captured in war, because the four kings won the war against the five kings, Avram Avinu went with a small army, according to the Gemara's tradition, he went for Eliezer, Eben Avram, that was the whole army, and he waged war against the four kings and he won. And he freed the whole reason why he went to war was in order to free his nephew Lot. So when Melech Sodom greets him after Avraham Avinu was victorious in battle, so he says, Baruch Avraham lekel olyon shenigin serecha b'yadecha, Baruch kel olyon, Baruch Avraham, I forgot the lashon, first he gives Avraham to Avraham Avinu, then he says, Baruch kel olyon shenigin serecha b'yadecha, afterwards he gives a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says that was improper on the part of Melech Sodom, first to give a bracha to Abbas of Adam, and then to give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're giving a bracha, he planned to give a bracha one after the other to Abbas of Adam and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Derech Eretz dictates, first you give the bracha to the Baruch Shalom, then you give the bracha to the Abbas of Adam. So the Gemara says that he was punished, Melech Sodom was punished. Who was Malki Tzedek, Melech Sodom? It says, V'hu Kohen L'Kel Olyon. Why does it say V'hu Kohen? So the Gemara is Mandak, V'hu Kohen, V'ein B'no Kohen. Usually Kahuna goes over to the children. Malki Tzedek was punished, he lost the Kahuna. That's why his children were not Kohen. Why did he lose the Kahuna? Because he acted improperly. Because he didn't birchas eved lebirchas kono. He gave first the bracha, Baruch Avram, lekel olyon, then he said Baruch kel olyon afterwards. So that says in the Gemara that whenever you're interested in saying two brachas, one to Abbas of Adam, one to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should first give the bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then to the Abbas of Adam. That's what the Achrayim say based on that. Usually when people will drink a drink of wine or there's a party and someone has a drink of schnapps, a drink of wine, so people say l'chaim. So the question is, which bracha do you say first? So usually people say l'chaim, 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 then they say b'rach ragofen, or then they say shahakal niyam advara over the schnapps. So l'chaim is a bracha to Abbas of Adam, and shahakal on the schnapps of b'rach ragofen is a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you plan to say both, so Derech Eretz dictates you should first say the bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then say the bracha to the Abbas of Adam, not like the Minhag HaOlam. So the Kaf HaChaim quotes that, and the later post can point that out. I remember years ago, I once participated, there was a group of Balabatim who were learning once a week, every week they learned, they had a Seder to learn together Masech HaShabbos. Masech HaShabbos is gigantic, so it took them over 10 years to finish Masech HaShabbos. At the end of the 12 years, 13 years, whatever, at the end, where they made a scene, so they made a fancy party, and they served champagne and steak. So I lived in the neighborhood, so they invited me also. I wasn't learning with them, but they invited me also. So the people were saying over the champagne, l'chaim, 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 then they said, Baruch HaGofen. So one of the rabbonim was there, so he said, it says in the poskim, that's not right. First, you have to say the Baruch HaGofen, then they say l'chaim. So the next fellow says, okay, Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Pri HaGofen, l'chaim, 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 then he takes a sip. So the Rav had charata that he told him that. He said, no, you have to say Baruch Pri HaGofen and take a sip of the wine, and then you say l'chaim. You're not supposed to be mafsik with the bracha of l'chaim in between the Baruch Pri HaGofen and the drinking of the wine. So that's a Gemara taka. If you plan to give both brachas, what if you only plan to give a bracha to the Bas of Adam? Many have the minig that on Erev Yom Kippur, you give a bracha to your children. So do you have to introduce, you're not planning to give a bracha to Rabbanu Shalom. We gave brachas when we daven shachris, when we're going to daven mincha. You give brachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day long. When you eat food, you say a bracha. But when you give a brachas habonim on Erev Yom Kippur, maybe the Gemara only says if you plan to give both a bracha to the boss of Adam and a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the proper Seder is first be magnum and the bracha to the Rabbanu Shalom, then the bracha to the boss of Adam. But if you only plan to give a bracha to the boss of Adam, so the pashtus is that maybe you don't have to give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's where, if you look in the Matei Ephraim, Matei Ephraim is a sefer by Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, has all the dinim of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and a little bit on Sukkot. He was a businessman. He lived in the city abroad. Last year, the yeshiva learned Chulin, so we used the Lev Aryeh. Lev Aryeh was written by the rabbi in Brod, who was not so famous at the time that this was his balabas, is one of this businessman, Ephraim Zalmagolis, was world famous. People sent him shaylos from all over the world, and he printed the Tshuvas Beis Ephraim. His Tshuvas Beis Ephraim, and the Matei Ephraim, and Hilchas Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he has the final say on everything. Mishnah Berurah quotes a Matei Ephraim every single page. And Hilchas Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and then he wrote Shari Ephraim and Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, because in the middle of Hilchas, in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, if you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah, or so, someone makes some kind of a mistake, so the rabbi is going to get all confused. He has to give a psak on the spot. So he wrote a whole sefer on Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. So also Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shari Ephraim every single page. He has the final say. So the Matei Ephraim itself is dry. But they have later editions of the Matei Ephraim that have a lot of footnotes with a lot of added minhagim. So in one of the Hosafos that they have, they say when you give the Birchas Habonim on Erev Yom Kippur, the Zohar has more than it says in the Gemara. The Gemara just says if you plan to give a bracha to both HaKadosh Baruch and to the Bas of Adam, so you should be magnum the bracha to HaKadosh Baruch. What if you're only planning to give to the Bas of Adam? That doesn't say in the Gemara. So that's in the Zohar. Whenever you want to give a bracha to a Bas of Adam, so Derech Eretz dictates you should first begin with a pasuk, Baruch Hashem le'olam amen v'amen, Baruch Hashem mitzion shecheinu Yerushalayim haluka. Same some kind of a pasuk from Tanakh. That's a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before you give the bracha to the boss of Adam. So that's what this Tana said. The Yesman Barneh Arach Yamim, he said when he's about to give the Nesias Kapan Yerechecha Yoyer Yisos, about to say the Duchening, which is a bracha to the boss of Adam, he would always be makdimit. Because of this, midas chasidus with the bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So instead of saying a pasuk, Baruch Hashem ve'olam, amen ve'amen, something like that, he chose to say Baruch Ata Hashem alakein malach shekadoshani b'kedushasu shalaren, zibon al baruch hasham yisrael bi'abba, but he didn't mean it b'teres b'chas ha-mitzvah. No, that's what the Nitziv says. Strictly speaking, the Baal Amor is right. And this, and the Rav Haigwan on the first daf in brachas is right. Since you're duchening within the framework of the Chazaras HaShatz, so the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim doesn't really require a Birchas HaMitzvah. This was a Midas Chasidus on his part. That's a big question. All right, you want to volunteer a Midas Chasidus? So you make up a new bracha. Isn't that a bracha levatol, a bracha shein etzvicha? Shouldn't he have rather said a pasuk? Baruch Hashem v'yalam amein v'amein. Something like that. Why did he say Baruch HaToshem l'kein malach ha'olam? That's also permissible. That's questionable. But that's what the Netziv says. The Meiri was the one who raised the issue. So the Meiri gives a different answer. Why is this a Midas Chasidus? That's the din. Isn't that the din? So the Meiri assumes like the Ramban, that the Ikara din, you have to say a bracha. Not like the Netziv, it's a whole Chiddush. But the Meiri gives a different explanation. He says the din is, strictly speaking, we mentioned it the other day also, the Gemara, the end of the third parak in Rosh Hashanah, in the middle of the discussion of Baal Tosef. So the Gemara says, strictly speaking, a klein is only obligated to duchen once a day, every day. The fact that the Mishnah says you duchen in Shachris, then you duchen in Musaf, and you duchen in the Ilah a third time, that's only midrabbanim. In Atar, once you duchen, you're not mukhiv to duchen a second time, not for the same minyan, not for a different minyan. Let's say the klein daven in the first minyan, and the second minyan, and sure, the 6 o'clock minyan he daven already. 7 o'clock minyan doesn't have a coin. So they ask him, could you please stay and give us the duchening? So strictly speaking, he's not mechayiv. Once he already duchen once in the day, he's not mechayiv. But the rabbanon, they are mechayiv him to duchen shachris and musaf. But not mechayiv to duchen twice for shachris for a different minyan, not mechayiv even the rabbanon. So the Magen Avraham is simen kuf chav ches. That's one simen has all the dinim of the Nesias Kapayim. So the Magen Avraham quotes a machlokes achreinim. If the kohen is kind enough to duchen here in the neighborhood, a lot of times in the Aguda minyan, it's a small minyan, most of the yekas daven in Broyashul. And then some of the people are not yekas, there weren't so many, some daven in the shtibel. And then some were not chassidim, so they didn't want to daven in the shtibel, but they didn't want to daven in Broyas, because Broyas is yekish, a different niggin and a different nusach atfila. So there's a little Aguda minyan. So every so often, the Aguda Minyan on Yom Tov didn't have a coin. So they would ask one of the Kohanim who took in the ready embroiders, Shachris and Musaf, could he be kind enough to come to them and duchen a third time? So he would come and he would say a bracha. So the Magen Avraham quotes a machlokes achronim about that. It's true that one recites a bichas hamitzvah when he's about to fulfill either a mitzvah deraisa or a mitzvah derabbanim, but here you're not even mechuyev derabbanim. So does it really make sense to say a bichas hamitzvah? A woman who's volunteering to shake a lulav says a bracha is not mitzivan or dosh, not mechuyev. But men would have been mechuyev. So the woman, the Rabbein and Tam says, the woman can say the bracha v'tzivanu. She has the same kedushas yisrael that a man has. So she can say the bracha, because if she would have been a man, she would have been mechuyev. But over here, the fellow is a kohen beri beri duchen today. He's not mechuyev to duchen a second time. So that's a machlokes achred. So how do we pass on halacha l'maisa? So it's a common practice. This kohen did it all the time. He was a nice fellow. He would after he duchened in the big shul and brayos, he would come across the street to the Aguda Minyan, he would duchen and he would say the bracha there. So how did he know how to paskin? The answer is because the Meiri paskins. In the Rishonim, that's how the Achronim write. In the Rishonim, the only one who raises the issue is the Meiri. And the Meiri learns that that was the Midas Chasidus of this Tana. He says, I deserve to live to a long life because whenever I would duchen, I would say the bracha, shekadishan, b'kushasu shalaran, before duchening. What's the Midas Chassidus? The answer is, even if he would duchen a second time in the same day, and you're not even mechuyev midrabbanan. If you're duchening shachris, then duchening musaf. That's what it says in the Mishnah. So we said the Karen Aris says on the Gemara that he's mechuyev to duchen midrabbanan. Even though he duchened the shachris, mechuyev to duchen a musaf. But if he already duchened the shachris and a musaf, that was coming to a different minyan, to duchen. It's not mechuyev even midrabbanan. So that was his Midas Chassidus. When he would duchen a second time on the same day, he would also say the bruch. So that's interesting. That's interesting. That the Netziv interpreted in the Gemara that the Midas Chassidus was that he said a bruch mikra, then he doesn't have to say any bruch. And the Ramban takes the exact same Gemara that there is a bruch on duchening, even though it's in the middle of the framework of Chazaras Hashatz, and he said, you see from the Gemara against the Balamor, that even if you're fulfilling a mitzvah within the framework of the brachas of the Chazaras Hashatz, you still have to recite the bracha k'tzara, a bracha on the mitzvah. That is interesting. The exact same Gemara, the Netziv takes it from the Gemara that it's a riot to the Netziv, it's a riot to the Balamor, and the Ramban thinks that it's a tiyufta against the Balamor.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Halacha l'maisa regarding Kriyat Shema. If you repeat it, should you make the bracha before?
No, we don't follow that shita. No.
Okay.
That's a shita, but that's not the shita that's accepted. According to Tosas, you were yotze ready in shul. So we are choshish for Rashi, and then we're choshish for Rashi, who says you have to repeat Parsha Rishayna. Because Rashi holds only Parsha Rishayna is the Raisa, Parsha Shni is only the Rabbanah. So we're choshish for Rashi that you're not yotzei bein hashmashes, and then we're choshish for Tosfos also Parsha Shni is also deraisa. So we say over the both two parts. Then we say the third parsha also vayomer, because even though the Rabbein Yain explained no vayomer, even though we learned that from the pasuk amantis kasem tesef kol yemechayecha imechayecha hayamim kol yemechayecha halelos, that you have to say the parsha shlishes vayomer, not only vayom. When you dam a shachris, you have to say vayomer. When you dam ma'ariv, also you have to say vayomer. So that's not this. That doesn't have the same zman as Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema has to be balayla after tzeisak kechavim b'shach b'chav kumecha. But the chiras tzeis and sayim has to be a zman nosaf, an additional zman, because you learn that from the word kol. Kol yemecha yechaz marbe, an additional zman. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the zman of layla. The zman of ben hashmash is also a new zman. Yeah, so we're machmer for that also. So since it's chumris, we're not so convinced that we weren't yotze Kriyat Shema when we daven ma'ariv early. Maybe the din is like this, that we were yotze. So that's why we don't see any brachas there.
Rabbi, why is it that our psak is inconsistent? That sometimes, like with regards to Birkas Kohanim, the Kohanim do say bracha, despite the fact it's in the context of brachos, but when Kriyat Shema, we don't.
Maybe Kriyat Shema, why don't we say a bracha on Kriyat Shema? Well, according to what these Achronim said, that is based on the passage in the Zohar, that whenever you're about to give a bracha to a Basav Adam, Derech Eretz dictates you should give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not really recited with Torah's Birchas HaMitzvah, Shekidushan B'Kedushas HaShalar. It's recited out of Derech Eretz, not to give a bracha to a Basav Adam without first giving a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's not really with Torah's Birchas HaMitzvah. Torah's Derech Eretz. But Mikra, then you don't need a bracha. That's what the Netziv interprets. He thinks that the Baal Mor is right. Yeah. Let's see. What else did we not cover last time? Our Gemara quotes a brisa, and on the margin it says that this brisa is quoted more Bishlei Muso. In Sukkah daf Memvav Amarav, the Braisa has Oisa Lulav Leatzma, means a person makes an eged before Sukkahs. There's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanim whether lulav tzarach eged, lulav ena tzarach eged. We pass lulav ena tzarach eged, but lechatchila the Gemara says on daf Yeralev Yehuda we pass can you can be oitz in a mitzvah be the eved even if the lulav the hadasma and the rabbis are not tied together. You should have an eged. What does it mean an eged? So Rabbi Yehuda Shita, there's a Rashi in Sukkah. Rashi shows from the Gemara, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that the eged is me'akeh b'di'eved. You need an eged of a kesher al gabi kesher, not just to wrap around the strip of the lulav and to tuck it in. That's not a kesher al gabi kesher. You have to make a kesher al gabi kesher. We don't do a kesher al gabi kesher. So then Rashi writes, not only do you need a kesher al gabi kesher, if the din would have been like Rabbi Yehuda, which it isn't. Rabbi Yehuda holds lulav tzarach eged lehikuva. So we don't paskin like that. We paskin, it's only lechatchila. So Rashi claims that just like according to Rabbi Yehuda, lulav tzarach eged lehikuva, the eged has to be kesher al gabi kesher, kesher gomor, just like in Ichlo Shabbos, kosher has to be kesher al gabi kesher. So too, the lechatchila, according to the Rabban of the Rabbi Yehuda, lechatchila lulav tzarach eged, because of zakeh l'maveh, he the mitzvah, so it should also be kesher al gabi kesher. So where do we make a kesher al gabi kesher? We just wrap it around and we tuck it in. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes an obscure sefer. I'm not sure, I never saw the sefer, never heard of it. Just the Mishnah Berurah quotes it over here. Agura ba'ohalecha. Where did he find this sefer? So there's this, the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Hakdama, there is a sefer on Orachayim that has marmakayim to Achrayim. Because on the page, you don't have all of the Achrayim. On the page, you have next to the Behetiv, you have the Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva was written by this Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, this businessman, who wrote the Mate Ephraim, and wrote the Tshuva's Beis Ephraim, and the Shari Ephraim, and Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. So he and his brother wrote this sefer that's called Shari Ephraim, Shari Tshuva. So the Shari Tshuva, he lived in the early 1800s. So he lived before the Chasam Sefer. So he can't quote a Chasam Sefer. So it's missing a lot. On your day, Ibn Ezra and Chashim Ishbad, you have the Pischi Tshuva. The Pischi Tshuva was written in the late 1800s by somebody else. So the Pischi Tshuva is much better than the Shari Tshuva. Pischi Tshuva, he'll take a Tshuva from the Noda Behuda that's 4 pages long, and he'll quote one line that's the punchline. He'll take a Tshuva from the Chasam Sefer that's 3-4 pages long, and quote the 1 or 2 lines that are the most important. The Shari Tshuva never does that. The Shari Tshuva sometimes gives you Kematriyos and Rashi Tevis and Shetlach and stories, all kinds of different things. And Mate, the Pischi Tshuva and Ibn Ezra, Yeridei and Chosh Mishpat is solid, very, very strong. It's usually Ruba de Ruba's always quotation. Once in a long while, the Pischi Tshuva writes his own opinion, but that's very rare, once every 50 pages. Usually he's always quoting things. So the Shari Tshuva and Orach Chaim is really incomplete. He doesn't have all the later poskim. So the Mishnah Berurah says he's using also, there is a Sefer Pischi Tshuva written by somebody else, by a Dayan in Vilna, who gives you, he quotes later Achrayim. So the Mishnah Berurah only quotes, if you learn Mishnah Berurah only quotes Achrayim on the page, like the Magen Avraham and the Taz and the Be'er Hetiv and the Shari Tshuva, or the others in the Nesiv Chaim, those printed on the page, or the Svarim, the Chemed Moshe, the Maimon Mordechai, the Svarim that are written on Or HaChaim Keseder, page by page, page after page. He will not quote the Tshuva's Rebbe Geveger unless it's mentioned in the Pesachei Tshuva. So every so often he will quote the Tshuva's Rebbe Geveger on the pages on the page that he'll quote. Is printed on the page. Whatever is any Tshuva's HaKrainim, a Nadi Behuda or a Chsam Sefer, if it's quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva, then the Mishnah Berurah will quote it. If it's not quoted, then he's not mechuyev to go research all the HaKrainim. He didn't have a computer. And he never quotes others. Only those that are quoted by the... In fact, the Mishnah Berurah has a complaint. He quotes the Prima Godin. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Godin complaining against the Jewish doctors why they mechalal Shabbos to save the lives of Nochrim. The Gemara said, the Pharisee are not allowed to. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, appeal on the Mishnah Berurah. The Achareinu made a takona in the 1800s. You have to be mechalal Shabbos for the Nochrim. If you're not going to be mechalal Shabbos for the Nochrim, they'll make a pogrom. So we have to be mechalal Shabbos. You can't function otherwise. They'll make a pogrom, they'll kill us. You have to be Mechal Shabbos to save the lives of the Nochem also. So he says, Appel on the Mishnah Berurah, why he doesn't quote this, the Chasam Sofer quotes this Takone from Chasam Sofer lived in the early 1800s, and he says they made such a Takone. So the answer is, it's not the Appel on the Mishnah Berurah, it's a Appel on the Pesachei Tshuva. The Mishnah Berurah only quotes those Achronim that are on the page, or Chemed Moshe, Maimon Mordechai, those who wrote Svarim, Daf al Daf on the Shulchan Aruch, or those Achronim that are quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva. Pesachei Tshuva didn't quote this Chasam Sofer. So that's why the Mishnah Berurah didn't quote. So here, the Pesachei Tshuva, this Pesachei Tshuva refers you to a Sefer, Ogura Ba'ohalecha. I never saw it. I don't know who wrote it. So the Sefer, Ogura Ba'ohalecha, raises the question, how are we Yotze, Lulav, Lechatrilu, Lulav Tzorach Eged, and Rashi on Sukkah, right, has to be the Eged should be Kesher Al Gabi Kesher. It's not Mi'akeh B'di Eved, even if you have no Eged at all. It's not Mi'akeh B'di Eved, but L'chatchila, it should really be an Eged of a Kesher Al Gabi Kesher. We don't do that. We just wrap around the strip from the lulav when we tuck it in. So it says, Ogura Ba'ohalecha writes, we have the practice, we use a little keshikol. We use a little contraption that's woven, interwoven strips of the lulav. That has this, it's interwoven in such a way that it's full of knots, full of kishor, keshor gabi kesh. So he says, even if you wouldn't put a strip of lulav strip on top of that keshikol, the keshikol itself is a keshor gabi kesh. So you yotze with that. So Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't use a keshikol. Why? He held that that's an issue of tasa v'lo imena osa. The Gemara says if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda that lulav tzorech eged, so you need an asiya on the lulav. That's what it means, lulav tzorech eged. Lulav esrik hadasman arogas grow from the ground. So you can't make hadasan. Either it grew or it didn't grow. A sukkah needs asiya. And the Gemara has a din tasa v'lo imena osa. Let's say a sukkah happened by itself. You happen to have walls and a stack of hay, but it wasn't put l'shem tzil. So then the Gemara says it's no good. That's a din minatari, you need asiyah. And some machloek is b'sham and mesila, where they need asiyah l'shem mitzvah is just enough, asiyah l'shem tzil. We pass on that asiyah l'shem tzil is enough, even if you didn't do l'shem mitzvah. So that din of tasav l'manas applies to the sukkah, because sukkah needs an asiyah. What about lulav? Does lulav need an asiyah? How can you have an asiyah? It grows from the ground. So we pass lulav does not need an asiyah. Rabbi Yehuda holds that lulav tzorech eged, lulav needs an asiyah. How do you do the asiyah? By tying the lulav at the hadasim narav. It's the esrig, you can't do anything. So the esrig doesn't need an asiyah. But the lulav hadasim narav needs an asiyah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara has a shayla. Maybe there would be a din of tasav lamino asiyah. Let's say I made a kesher. Let's say I have a keshikol, have this container, and then I stick in a lulav, then I stick in hadasim and arabis. So the knot was there before I put the gimel minim there. So that's tasav lemanasa. So according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, who holds a lulav tzorech eged means you need an asiyah and the gimel minim of lulav hadasim and arabis, that would not be kosher. It wouldn't be acceptable. Even though the keshikol, even though the little contraption is considered like a kesher al gabi kesher because it's all interwoven, it's full of knots, But it's Tasa v'Lamelasa. Then that's where they're before you put in the Lulav and the Hadassah. So the Shaila is, but we don't pass on like Rav Yehuda that it's Ma'akev b'Di'evad. We only hold Lechatchila Lulav Tzarecheg because it was a Kele Dan Veyu. So would we say that Lechatchila there's a din of Tasa v'Lamelasa? So the Pashtas and the Gemara is that no. The whole issue with Tasa v'Lamelasa is only two opinions within Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda holds you need Asiya on the Lulav and Hadas Marabis, would he say Tasav Lemonos? That's two versions. But if you don't hold like Rav Yehuda, you don't need Tasav Lemonos. There's a little sefer that has all the Hilchas Dal and Minim alphabetically arranged. Fantastic sefer. It's called Chaim of Rochel and Mishmer Shalom. Mishmer Shalom is a sefer on Yeridaya, when you learn Yeridaya. So when you learn Yeridaya, the two commentaries printed on the side of the page, like Rashi on the inside, this is on the outside. So on Yeridaya, you have the Tazes in the inside, the Magen Avraham, and the Shachas on the outside. So there's a commentary in the back of the volume of the Yeridaya that's called the Prima Godim. And he gives a commentary on the Taz and on the Shach. Not everything in the Prima Godim is so well understood. So there was a Godel who lived in the early 1900s. He wrote a sefer, the Mishmer Shalom. Mishmer Shalom, he was a big Paisik. So the Mishmer Shalom is a commentary on the Prima Godim, which is a commentary on the Shach and the Taz. But the same author who wrote the Mishmer Shalom, which is sometimes printed in the back of the big Yeridaya, sometimes printed separately. So he also wrote two Svarim with the same name, Chaim of Rochel and Mishmer Shalom. One has Hilchas Adelus alphabetically arranged, one has Hilchas Dalad Minim alphabetically arranged. So the Sefer, and he lived the same time as Yor Samech and Rab Chaim Soloveitchik and many other Gedolim and the Maharsham. So he quotes from Rab Chaim and from the Yor Samech and many other contemporaries of his. So the Sefer that he has on Dalad Minim, the Chaim of Rochel and Mishmer Shalom, has a lot of Hoysophis, has a lot of Heoris added on by the Maharsham. So it's alphabetically arranged. So on the very last page, he has under the letter Tav, from Aleph to Tav, it's in Hebrew. So under Tav, he has a Din Tassav Leminol. I say, does it apply to Dalad Minim? The Sefer is on Hilchas Dalad Minim. So the Maharsham writes, when you learn the Gemara in Sukkah, it seems that it's within Rav Yehuda, who holds Lulav Tzarecheg and Li'ikuvam. There it's a machlekes whether you say Tasav Lemonasa should apply to the Asiyas HaLulav, to the Asiyas HaEged. But once you hold like the Chachamim de Rav Yehuda, that the Eged is not Mi'akev b'di'evad, it's only Lachatchila, so there's no issue of Tasav Lemonasa. That's the simple meaning of the Gemara. So Rav Soloveitchik held not so. Rav Soloveitchik said, Rashi said on the Gemara, there's a gigantic Rashi, a very big Rashi in Sukkah. And Rashi writes that just like according to Rav Yehuda, you need Eged, needs a Keshal Gabi Kesher, a Kesher Gomer, then a Hilchah Shabbos would be a Malach of Kosher. So too, according to the Rabbanon, who hold the Lulav and it's Tzarech Eged, but L'chatchila, the Kelev and Veyu, it's a Hidah Mitzvah to have an Eged. So they would also, whatever Rav Yehuda says is Ma'akev b'di'evad, the Rabbanon say is needed L'chatchila. So you need a Keshal Gabi Kesher. So Leitchik understood that just like Rashi says, you need a Keshal Gabi Kesher, we carry over what Rav Yehuda said to the Rabbanon on the level of the Chatchila. And the Gemara said, two opinions, whether according to Rav Yehuda, would there be a Din of Tasav Lemonasa? So according to the Rabbanon, that should carry over also, based on the Rashi, that should also carry over. So the Chatchila should say that there is a Din of Tasav Lemonasa. So he didn't use a Kesher code. He said it's going to be a Tasav Lemonasa. You're not going to gain anything by that. So he would hold together the Lulav Hadassim and Arabis, take a strip of Lulav, what we use, and tie it a Keshal Gabi Kesher to hold it together. Many have the practice that after you finish using the Lulav and Shul for Danuim and Hoshinus, so then you go home, you take the Lulav out, and you wrap up the Hadassim and Arabis, and you put it in the refrigerator so it'll last longer. Then the next day, you put the lulav back in. So Rav Soloveitchik wouldn't do that. Once you took the lulav out, you're going to put it back in. That's Tasav Lemonasa. So you don't gain anything. And then you can't make a new eged on Yontif. That's a malach of kosher. You're not allowed to do kosher on Yontif. So he would leave it all together. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't separate it. They didn't take out the lulav and only wrap up the hadas manara. They didn't have refrigerators. So they used to take the whole eged, the lulav with hadas manara, put the whole thing in a bucket of water, and that would preserve it, like you put flowers in a container of water, in a flower bowl, in in a container, so it'll preserve its freshness for longer. So that was a discussion in the days of the Rishonim. There is a din if you have an esrig that's cooked, esrig hamavushal is pasul, because it's considered nishtana. So what about kovish kamavushal? What if you said that? The Gemara says also no good luck to have an esrig, and it's soaking in water for more than 24 hours. So that's called kovish kamavushal. So kovish kamavushal is also pasul. So that's the Gemara. Esrig kovish is pasul. Esrig hamavushal is pasul. So esrig is a food item. Esrig is like a lemon. So try to talk about bishul on food. What if you take a lulav hadasim and aerobis and you put it in a bowl, a bucket of water, and the bottom few inches are sitting in water? So it's not going to sit there for 24 hours. You're going to take it out for shachris every morning. But over Shabbos, it is going to sit there. You're going to put it in Friday morning at 10 o'clock. You're going to take it out on Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. So it's sitting there over Shabbos more than 24 hours. So that's a discussion in the Rishonim and the Achronim. Do you say kovish kemevushal on the lulav and hadasim and aerobis? What, I take a piece of metal? I'll take a metal pipe and I'll put it in water and soak it for 24 hours. You say kovish kemevushal? You did bishal on the metal pipe? I'll take a wooden stick and I'll soak it in water for 24 hours. You say, on a wooden stick, you're going to say kovish kemevushal? Lotshach bishal on wood. There is no bishal on wood. So they quote, the Achronim quote, there's a Tshuvas Ramban on the topic, but they say they're not sure whether the Ramban said it is good or it's not good. The Achronim have a machlekes. What is the correct girsa in the Tshuvas Ramban? And the Achronim have a machlekes about it. The Stechemet. Stechemet is an encyclopedia that was written about 100 years ago, over 100 years ago. Stechemet was a Sfardi, Rav Chaim Cheskia Medini. He was born in Hebron, I think, in Eretz Yisrael. Then he got a rabbanus somewhere in Uzbekistan, somewhere over there, Nahari Choshech. And he was brought up as a Sfardi. He knew the Sfardi Shemanogit. He came to this community. He didn't know what was going on. He never heard of these Minhagim. So he started corresponding to different rabbanim about whether the Balabatim are observing proper Minhagim or not. So he used to correspond with the Netziv. He always called him the Netziv Melech. He was a Manmalki Rabbanan, a king, Netziv Melech. And he used to correspond with Rav Shlomo de Vilna and many other big Talmid Chachamim. And then he put together all the letters and all the Birurim, and he has a whole encyclopedia, alphabetically arranged, which is a fantastic encyclopedia. There are some things his encyclopedia, once in a while, is even better than Encyclopedia Talmudit. He would have thought that Encyclopedia Talmudit, first they used all the old encyclopedias, and then they added on more based on computers. There are things that the Stechemet quotes, Mar Mekaymus, that in Achreinim, that are very valuable, that are missing in the Encyclopedia Talmud. They once sent him a letter about one topic, and I wrote that in a future edition they should add on this Mar Mokmos, a very important Mar Mok. Anyway, so that's so the Stechemet has this whole discussion. If you have the lulav, the hadasim, and the aerobis soaking in water, the bottom 4 inches, if you say kovish kemushal applies to non-food items, then the bottom 4 inches will be pasul in your lulav. So it could be that if you would cut off the bottom 4 inches, the whole thing would be pasul. Could be the hadasim will not be tall enough. Could be the lulav will not be tall enough. So that's a discussion in Achronim. Yeah, so our Gemara has an interesting din. Ha'isa, it's a brisa from Sukkah Daf Mevav. Ha'isa lulav li'atzma mevarach shechiyonim. Then he quotes another brisa. Ha'isa sukkah li'atzma oimer shechiyonim. So Taisus there on Sukkah Mevav Amar Alam says, they don't know what the rule is. When you make your own shofar, also you say shechiyonim. When you make your own tefillin, do you say shachana? Tesis is not sure. When you make a sukkah, when you make a lulav, what do you mean make a lulav? You make the egged. When you make the egged, do you say shachana? When you make which chefza mitzvah, do you say shachana? Which do you not say shachana? They're not sure. That's an important topic. In Shulchan Aruch and Simchah Beis, that's in Hilchas Tzitzis. So it says if a person buys a beged shal tzitzis, he does say shachana. What does it mean? Just like over here, a person builds a sukkah. If it's his sukkah, he says shachyanu. Yet why? Why does he say shachyanu? So we are familiar with the fact that we have the Rambam and we have Hasagas HaRavid printed on the side of the page in the Rambam. The Kesher Mishnah will also quote Hasagas from the Ramach. He was also the same generation. He wrote Hasagas on the Rambam. The one who printed the Hasagas HaRamach al Rambam, I think, used to teach in the Reform Seminary in Cincinnati. Hebrew Union College, I think it's called. Jewish Theological Seminary in New York is conservative, and Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati is Reform. So he was in Europe before the war. He learned in Berlin, Hildesheim Seminary. He learned by the Swedish, and he put out the Pirush HaRavid on Baba Kama from a manuscript, which is quoted a lot in the Shittim Kubetzes. They say it's not the Ravid who wrote Hasagas on the Rambam, it's a different Ravid, different person. In the days of the Rishonim. So he put out, at that time, he was Orthodox. And then somehow when he came to America, he became Reform, and he taught in the Reform Seminary. So because he put out the Hasagas HaRamach with his footnotes, so that's why I have his edition. So his footnotes sometimes are silly. Sometimes they're valuable, but sometimes they're silly. So that's why some people boycott using that edition. So some character in Bnei Brak took his edition. Obviously, he didn't have the manuscript of the Hasagas HaRamach al Rambam. He took this, his name is Atlas, I think Shmuel Atlas. So he took his edition, and it's interesting, even after he joined the Reform Seminary, the Sridei Yesh, after the war, lived in Switzerland, he used to correspond with him and write to him with Derech Eretz as his Talmud, even though he was teaching in the Reform Seminary. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the last Lubavitcher Rebbe, went to university in Berlin. He also knew Atlas from Berlin before the war. So when Atlas passed away, he said the Lubavitcher Rebbe sent the representative to represent him by the funeral. I find that very surprising. The man became, he taught by the Reform. He was in the Reform. I don't understand why the Lubavitcher Rebbe still maintained contact with him. I don't know. Anyway, so some character in Bnei Brak took the sefer that this fella Atlas put out. He left out all of his footnotes on the bottom of the page, and he just reprinted the text of the Hasagas HaRamach. That made it kosher. Right? He didn't see the original manuscript. Maybe Atlas forged the whole thing. Maybe the whole thing is a fake. Maybe there is no such manuscript. He's relying on Atlas that he put it. Okay, so that made it kosher. So we have Hasagas HaRamach. Then you have other Hasagas also. Every so often, the Kesher Mishnah will quote Hasagas of the Mari Kurkis. Also, the Ravid wasn't the only one who wrote Hasagas on the Rambam. There's an interesting story that they tell about one of the Chassidish Rebbes, I forgot already the name, that he came into the Beis Medrash and the people were screaming something about the Rambam. So that when he came in, everybody was quiet. They all stopped screaming. So he said, what were they saying? So they were all afraid to say, they were embarrassed to say. So he kept on pressuring them. So they finally said what? That someone read the Mor Nebuchim. The Rambam writes in the Mor Nebuchim that the Greek philosophers understood science better than the Tannaim. So how can the Rambam say that? That the Greek philosophers were better scientists than the Tannaim. So the this Rebbe, I forgot already which Rebbe, forgot. So this Rebbe said, you shouldn't say anything negative against the Rambam. The Rambam is a holy tzaddik. The Rambam was a descendant from the Malchus Beis David. I don't know, does anybody say that? I'm not sure. And he was right to be the Melech HaMashiach. And the Mishnah Torah was written to serve to be the constitution of the new Medina. But Ben HaShamayim, the door wasn't Roy Lakasa. Ben HaShamayim, they saw to it that Hasagas should be written. So that's why you have the Hasagas HaRavid and the Hasagas HaRamach and the Hasagas of the Mari Kurkis. So the whole plan was ripped down. But really, the Rambam was right to be the Melech HaMashiach. And what the Rambam meant was the following. So he says, Moshe L'madav Adayme, the king never speaks to the farmers in his kingdom. So the king thought that it's not fair. He has to make a date to allow the farmers to speak to him in case they have any needs. So he put up signs all over the farms that on such and such a day, he's gonna open up his palace. Whoever wants to speak to him personally will have an audience with the king. So all the farmers came that early that morning, and there was a waiting room. They're all standing in the waiting room. They never saw such paintings. They never saw such curtains, such chandeliers, such carpets, such ashiris, gold and silver, and everything was beautiful. So they're oohing and eyeing and said that all the farmers, they never saw such farmers. They have no money at all. They have nothing. So one farmer, and there were a lot of palace guards there. There are many different doors. This waiting room had many different doors to come in. So one farmer asked, which door is the king going to appear from? So he said, this door. So that farmer wasn't looking at any of the paintings, at any of the chandeliers, at the carpets, at the curtain, nothing. He was just standing in front of the door. So then when it comes 10 o'clock in the morning, the door opens quietly. No fanfare. The king appears. So the farmer says, good morning, your highness. And he says, my name is Yankel, and my behemoth died, and I need a behemoth. Without a behemoth, I can't do the work on the farm. So the king writes it down. Okay, Yankel needs a behemoth, and he writes down his address. Then the other people are oohing and eyeing. They didn't realize that the king appeared. So the king says, apparently they don't need me. So he went back into his private room. And then when they closed the door, so there was a big noise. So the people all turned around, all the farmers turned around and said, what happened? So the one farmer said, the king just appeared. And I spoke to him. And everybody else was so busy oohing and eyeing and looking at all the other things. They were distracted by everything else. So they didn't have a chance to speak to the king. So that's what this Rebbe, I forgot already, it's a famous Rebbe. So this Rebbe said, this Rebbe used to go with tremendous Ashiris, unlike all the other Rebbes. I forgot which one it was, the famous Rebbe. So the Rebbe said, the Nevi'im, the Rambam writes that the Greek philosophers understood science better than the prophets, better than the Nevi'im. So the Rebbe said, yeah, the Nevi'im knew that there's going to be a Gilui Shechina. So they didn't pay attention to the drapes and the carpets and the chandeliers and all the gold and the silver. They just stood and they watched the Gilui Shechina. Yecheskel HaNavi says the Gilui Shechina, the Ma'aseh Merkava. And the Greek philosophers were so busy looking at the science, at everything else, they missed the Shechina. That's what the Rambam meant to say. Not that he held that the Greek philosophers were greater than the Nevi'im. In that area, they were greater because they weren't paying attention to the Gilui Shechina. That was the mashal that he gave. So again, so we have this, there's a Hasagas HaRamach on the side of the Rama has the following statement. I remember I used to print the Ritori years ago. So Rabbi Gifter is distantly related. So whenever he was a very fast letter writer. So whenever he would read a Dvatara mine over breakfast, whenever he would get a Torah journal, he would read it, he would shoot off. He never agreed with anything that I said. There was one thing that he agreed with and he sent me a letter, he agrees. That's good. Everything else, he always disagreed. So I remember once, he sent me a letter, he disagreed, so I answered him back, so he answered me back, back, and back, and back, and back a few times. And finally I quoted, my pshat was based on this Ramach. So at the end he says, he never heard of that Ramach before, he doesn't know what to do with that. This is a Hasagas HaRamach on the Rambam, as a comment on this price. What kind of a din is that? So the Ramach and Hasagas, he doesn't take this as a point of disagreement with the Rambam. He assumes that this is the pasha, this is the pshat. If a person builds a new house or a person buys a new house, then he says shachyanu. If he lives all by himself, if he's going to live together with his wife and his children, then you say hatoy v'ametiv. Whenever there's a hatoba that you share with others, let's say my rich uncle Sam died and he left me a yerusha. See, if he left the yerusha to many of the nephews and nieces, so then we share the hatoba together, so you say hatoy v'ametiv. And if you're the only one yashining all the money, then you say shachyonim. So if a person builds a house for himself, then he says shachyonim. If he's the only one, if he's single, what if he builds a little dog house? So that doesn't have so much chashivas. If you buy a new suit, so if it's sometimes the new suit is exciting, so you say a bracha shachyonim. If you buy underwear, you don't say Shekhinah. The suits today maybe are like underwear. We have the suits last a year or two, and then you throw them out like underwear. It's not like years ago when you bought a suit. That was going to be your suit for the next 40, 50 years. You're going to wear the same suit. So the suits lasted much longer. Today, the suits are not so strong. So maybe today you shouldn't say Shekhinah on the suits. The Gemara at the end of Brachas has a machlekes in the Gemara, machlekes amarayim. Kana b'chaza b'kana. The Yoni says Shekhinah the first time in your life that you bought a new suit. I remember when I was a little boy, my mother bought me a new suit for Pesach. I was so excited. I said Shekhinah with full excitement. But now I have 10 Shabbos Dikun suits and 10 weekday suits. I just alternate suits. You buy another suit. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. He has a closet full of suits. He's not so excited when he buys another suit. It's not that this is going to be the suit that he's going to wear for many, many years to come. Maybe it's like underwear. Maybe you shouldn't say, Shekhinah, I'm buying a new suit today. So the Ramach explains in the Hasagas HaRamach al HaRambam, he says, if you buy underwear, you don't say Shekhinah. Only if you buy a Begat Choshuv. So if you build a doghouse, you don't say Shekhinah. If you build a house that has Choshuv, you say Shekhinah. So if you build a little sukkah, how much chashivas does it have? A wobbly sukkah is just going to last for a week, then you're going to take it down, put it away for next year. So that's what the Gemara says. No, since it's a sukkah shal mitzvah, it has chashivas like a real bayis. So this saying the Shekhinah is not because it's a mitzvah. The fact that it's a mitzvah makes it into a bayis chashuv, like a begat chashuv. It's the Shekhinah, like a begat chashuv, like a bayis chashuv. That's why you say Shekhinah. It's not a Shekhinah because of the mitzvah. There's a Taisus there in Sukkah, Mem Vav and Aleph, in connection with a different topic that Taisus talks about. So they refer you to another Taisus in Menochas and Daf Mem Beis. Here it also says, Esu Sukkah Le'atzmo, Yisei Abrocha. So Taisus in Menochas, Mem Beis on the Beis, the top Taisus, I think in Mem Beis on the Beis, Taisus quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that you, when you build your own Sukkah, you recite Abrocha, Shekudashana B'mitzvah, Savitzivanu, Lasa Sukkah or Alasiya Sukkah. So they say the Babli doesn't hold like that. The Rishami holds when you make the Dovah Shal Mitzvah, you're building a Sukkah, then you say a Brocha. There's a famous Netziv. The Netziv has such a. Netziv came up with this whopper of a Chiddush. Rav Soloveitchik was a descendant of the Netziv. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was the grandfather of Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik married the granddaughter of the Netziv. The Netziv was not a direct descendant from Rav Chaim Volozhin. He married the daughter. He married the daughter of Rav Bitzalel Volozhin. Rav Chaim Volozhin was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. He's the one who founded Volozhin Yeshiva in 1801. And after he passed away, his son Rav Bitzalel, Rav Yitzchak Volozhin, took over. Rav Bitzalel, when he was Rosh Yeshiva, his daughter married the Netziv. She was a few years older than Netziv. He was much younger than her. So Baruch Epstein was a nephew of the Netziv. That's why whenever he refers to him as Dodi Gisi, because first the Netziv was his uncle. It was his mother. Baruch Epstein, the author of the Torah Tmima, was a son of the Aruch HaShulchan. And Mrs. Aruch HaShulchan was a sister. Her maiden name was Berlin. She was a sister of the Netziv. And then the Aruch HaShulchan had a daughter, the Torah Tmima sister, who was married. And she decided she ran away from her husband because she decided her husband does know how to learn and she's not going to live with an Am HaAretz. It was against the law to run away from your husband. So she was hiding in the forest because the police were looking for her. Because you're not allowed to run away from your husband. So she waited a couple of days and the police stopped looking. And then she went back to her parents. Her parents said, Mishugana, you're going to be an aguna for the rest of your life. He's never going to give you a get. Why'd you run away? She says, he's an amart. What do you mean amart? He learns all day long. Nah, he looks in the Gemara, does not know what he's learning. Does not know how to learn. So they said, you're going to be stuck for the rest of your life. So she says, I'd rather be an aguna rather than live with the amart. So she ran away. And then finally she got a get from the husband. And then they said, who's going to want to marry you? It was such an embarrassment then. It was such a stigma against the woman. She ran away from her husband, got divorced. So then the Netziv was her uncle. The Netziv was Mrs. Aruch HaShulchan's brother, was the Netziv. So the Meshulach from the Volozhin Yeshiva came to raise money. And he told the Aruch HaShulchan and his wife that the Netziv's wife passed away, and they're looking for a Zivik Shena, they're looking for a Shidduch for the Netziv. So the niece of the Netziv, the daughter of the Aruch HaShulchan, said, he knows how to learn, I'll marry him. There was like 30, 40 years age gap between the two. So they thought it was utterly ridiculous. But then later on, they spoke about it, and then the father was busy moving to Navarik at that time. That's when he moved. He was first a rabbi in a different village, then he became a rabbi in the big city in Navarik. So when they clinched the shidduch, when they corresponded about it, so the wife of the Aruch HaShulchan took her daughter, the Grusha, to meet the Netziv at some midpoint city, and they met, and they decided they're going to get married. So this whole, and then from the second wife of the Netziv, they had a son, Rav Meir Bar Ilan. From the first wife of the Netziv, he had the son, Rav Chaim Berlin, who is a rabbi in Moscow, and later he retired, he moved to Yerushalayim, he died in Yerushalayim. And the Yeshivas Chaim Berlin was founded the year after he died, so they named it after him. He was a big Talmud Chacham. And Rav Meir Bar Ilan, Rav Meir Berlin, was his son from the second wife. So that's why Rav Meir Berlin was, you have to figure out how, was a son of the Netziv. So how was that? That was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's mother-in-law. Nachamal. Mother-in-law was the daughter of the Netziv. So Rav Meir Berlin was much younger than Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, but he was the uncle of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So it was a great-great uncle of Rabbi Soloveitchik. They knew each other. Rav Meir Bar Ilan was a Mizrahi leader. So Rav Soloveitchik used to meet with him every so often here in America. He was big in the Mizrahi. So Rav Meir Bar Ilan wrote a whole book about his father that's called Rabban Shal Yisrael, a whole biography of the Netziv. And he has a whole chapter about how his mother was so courageous to run away from her husband. He applauds his mother. She ran away from her husband, she got a get, and she married the Netziv, the second Shidduch. He writes the whole story in that book. Rabban Shal Yisrael is very fascinating. So the Netziv didn't have the briskest style of learning. So every so often, the Netziv has something that Rabbi Soloveitchik would accept. He used to refer to the Netziv as Rav Hershel Leib, because his name is Natoli Tzvi Yehuda. So Tzvi is Hershel, and Yehuda is usually Yehuda Leib. So in the family, he used to call him Rav Hershel Leib. Everybody else calls him the Netziv. And Rabbi Soloveitchik used to call him Rav Hershel Leib. So this Netziv that I'm about to say, this Rav Soloveitchik never heard of. I remember once Rav Neriah, after Mohammed Sheshet Tayanim, Rav Neriah, Moshe Tzvi Neriah of Meretz Yisrael, came to America to encourage young Talmid HaChachamim, young Bnei Torah in America, to go to Kiruv work in Eretz Yisrael. The people are receptive now. After Mohammed Sheshet Tayanim, there's such an excitement that they got the Harabayis and they got the Makam HaMikdosh. So people were receptive. So he came, Rav Neriah came to America to encourage people that they should, now is the time to go to Eretz Yisrael to try to do Kiruv by the non-observant. So among other places, he came to YU and he listened in to Rav Soloveitchik Shir. Rav Soloveitchik that year was learning Sukkah. And he raised his hand at the end and said, he has permission to ask a Shaila, to ask a Kasha. So he started when he was asking his question. He was quoting this Netziv that everybody else knows. It's one of the more famous passages from the Netziv. The Stipler talks about this passage from the Netziv. Rav Soloveitchik never heard of it. So the Netziv has this fantastic chiddush towards the end of the whole, his commentary on the Shiltas. So he has a chiddush that sometimes there's a hechsher mitzvah. Let's say you have to cut off the esrog from the tree. If the esrog is still attached to the tree, it can't be out to the mitzvah by holding an esrog that's attached. You have to be toilet shit. The lulav hadas marovs has to be attached. And sometimes there's a hechsher mitzvah hakosa batera, like writing mezuzah. That's not the mitzvah to write the mezuzah. The mitzvah is to nail the mezuzah on the doorpost. But writing the mezuzah is a hechsher mitzvah, but it has a higher level. Let's say, I buy a lulav and an esrog. You need shalachem for the first 2 days. But buying the lulav and esrog, that's a hechsher mitzvah. Sheinu kasa batera. Doesn't have a special status. But if writing the mezuzah, that has the status hechsher mitzvah kas matar. Let's say tying the chut tzitzis on the beged. That's a hechsher mitzvah. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to wear the tzitzis. When you just tie the chutim, that's making the cheftish al mitzvah. But it's a hechsher mitzvah. Kas matar has a special status. Same thing, constructing a sukkah. Constructing a sukkah, there is special dinim. There's a din of tasu lemon asi. So that has a special status of a hechsher mitzvah kas matar. So the Nesib has this big yisoid. Hechsher mitzvah kas matar has the status of a semi mitzvah. But you get to certain details as the halacha of a mitzvah. So one is this Tosfos in Menachos Membeis on Beis, the top Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi that when you construct the sukkah, you say Bichas Hamitzvah Shekadoshana B'Mitzvah Tzivano Al Asiyas HaSukkah. So Tosfos says very nice. That's what the Yerushalmi says. Hechsher mitzvah kasabatera. But the Bavli says Beferish not so. When you tie the chutim on the beggar, when you tie the tzitzis, so the Gemara has a machlokes. But they say bracha not. The Gemara comes to the conclusion you do not say bracha. There's no bracha recited on a hechsher mitzvah, even though it's kasamater. What else might there be a difference? So then it says there's a Mishnah in Shavuos. A person takes a Shavua, nishba levatelus ha-mitzvah. He swears, I will not say Kriya Shema today. I will not lay tefillin today. I will not eat matzah today. I will not sit in sukkah today. So that's nishba levatelus ha-mitzvah. It has the status of a Shavua Shav. The Shavua is not chal. You don't have the right to take such a Shavua. And you get malchus because you took a shvua shav. So the Mishnah, the Lashon HaMishnah in Shavuos says, sukkah sheni oisa. What do you mean, sukkah sheni oisa? So the simple translation could be, I will not do the mitzvah of sukkah. Any oisa is a mitzvah. I will not sit in the sukkah. It doesn't mean I will not construct the sukkah. But the Netziv understands literally, sukkah sheni oisa, I will not construct a sukkah. But there's no mitzvah in constructing a sukkah. So he says, no, since it's a hechsher mitzvah, hakasa batayra, the radina v'tasa v'lemon ha'asei, it has the status of a semi-mitzvah. So therefore, it's also called nishba levatelus ha-mitzvah. What else could be? So he said, there's a gemara in sukkah, ha'isik v'mitzvah potem en ha-mitzvah. Ha'isik v'mitzvah, an example that the gemara gives, kaisvei svarin tefillin and mezuzahs. A person is a sefer, and he writes sefer Torah. So calls man that is busy writing sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah, he's oisik b'mitzvah, potem on mitzvah. So what mitzvah is he fulfilling when he writes? It's only a hechsher mitzvah. When you write tefillin, that's a hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah is to wear the tefillin. When you write a mezuzah, that's a hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah is to have the mezuzah on the doorpost. So the Nitziv claims, but since it says in Chumash, Chsavtam al mezuzah beisech b'sharecha, Chumash talks about the hechsher mitzvah, kas matara, as the status of a semi-mitzvah, so therefore it's covered with the din of oisik b'mitzvah, patam al mitzvah. Rav Soloveitchik didn't like the whole thing. He never heard of this thing from the Nitziv. There are certain things from the Nitziv that he would say over, like the one I said, the Kohen said the bracha and the duchening, that's in the Merame Soda. That's in the Shurim that the Netziv gave in Balazhin. But a lot of times the Netziv had things that are totally not Rab Chaim's style at all. They were both, the last couple of years in Balazhin, they were co-Rashi Yeshiva. When the Netziv appointed Rab Chaim as a Rashi Yeshiva, there was a big machloikis in the Yeshiva. Many held that it was improper. It was only nepotism. They felt Rab Chaim Soloveitchik was not worthy to be appointed Rashi Yeshiva. And he was only appointed because he married the Rosh Yeshiva's granddaughter. So there was a meeting of the board. The board of Valdozhin Yeshiva were big rabbanim who were mismachim of the Yeshiva, alumni, who were functioning as big rabbanim in big communities in Europe. So they came to Valdozhin and they said, Rab Chaim should get up and give a shir. And they're going to decide whether he's worthy to give a shir or not. So they heard him give a shir and they decided he is worthy. So that for a few years, I think the Netziv gave the shiur Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then Rab Chaim gave the shiur Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. They would chaza, and every shiur would cover approximately a blat gemara. So they would cover approximately six blat gemara every week, and Shabbos they would chaza. So many of the Talmidim and Valojan only went to the Netziv shiur. They didn't go to Rab Chaim. Rab Chaim had a new derech halima, a whole new style of analysis. Some of the Talmidim, a small group, only went to Rab Chaim shiur. They didn't go to Netziv shiur. They didn't like his old style. And I think many of the Talmidim went to both. I don't understand how they blended in together, such a totally different style of learning, the Netziv with Rab Chaim. So once in a while, the Netziv has something taka that's along the style of Rab Chaim. So those Netzivs, Rab Soloveitchik would say, oh, but this one he never heard of. So the Netziv has this. So Rab Soloveitchik thought, Oisik ben mitzvah poter an mitzvah. He said, the Gemara never says, Tosis is Tosis and Hakonis. But become a Perak Hakonis, Tosis is bothered with Akasha. Whoever walks around with an Arba Kamfis all day long, and whoever has a mezuzah on his doorpost, should be potter from mitzvahs all day long. You make mitzvahs 24 hours a day. If you in the daytime when you're awake, you're walking around with tzitzis. In the nighttime when you're not walking around with tzitzis, you have the mezuzah on the doorpost, so you're potter from mitzvahs all day long. So Tosis says, no, there is no. So the way Rav Soloveitchik explained Tosis, Tosis says, there is no such din, ha-mekai mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. The din is the oisik b'mitzvah, if you're doing his saskos on the mitzvah. So once you put on the tzitzit, you're wearing it, you're mekayim the mitzvah, you have a mezuzah on the doorpost, you're being mekayim the mitzvah all day long, but you're not being the sasik in the mitzvah. Rav Soloveitchik said, it's the same reason why have kosvei sfarim tefillin and mezuzahs, apturim in our mitzvahs, why? They're not mekayim any mitzvah. When they're writing, say, v'tor tefillin and mezuzah, that's only a heksha mitzvah. But the halacha doesn't say ha mekayim mitzvah potter min mitzvah. The din is one who does his saskos and a mitzvah, his potter. So they're doing his saskos and a mitzvah. Because the Gemara says not only kosvei sfarim tefillin mezuzahs, the Gemara says hein betagrehem etagrei tagrehem. The merchants in the store, the people who have a Judaica store, who sell talesim, who sell tefillin, are also potter min mitzvah. What the hechshe mitzvah, kas matar, are they doing? That's not a hechshe mitzvah. The writing, you can, the Netziv says, uchsavtam ha-mezuzahs b'seach v'sherech, a writing, say, v'tar tefillin mezuzah, he says, has the status of a hechshe mitzvah, kasa b'tar. But selling Judaic articles, selling tefillin, that's not a hechshe mitzvah, kasa b'tar. And the Gemara says, hehein b'tagrein b'tagrein tagrein. Even the merchants who sell tefillin, who sell tzitzis, who sell tcheles, are also potter min ha-mitzvah. So Absalachik didn't like the whole Netziv. The whole commentary, but that's famous from the Netziv. So Tosis there in Sukkim Amar Aleph raises the question: when do you say Shachana when you make a mitzvah? So the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes in Simcha Beis: if you make your own tzitzis, you do say Shachana. And the Mishnah Berurah there talks about if you buy a pair of tefillin or you write your own tefillin, you do say Shachana. It's like Kone Kelim Chadoshim. And it's the Dabbe Shel Chashiv. It's not like buying underwear and making a doghouse. Since you're going to use the tefillin for a mitzvah, you're going to use the talus for a mitzvah. So that's like building a fancy home. So that's why you do say Shachyana. The Tosis raises the question, when do you say Shachyana? The Netziv, when he was a teenager, wrote this commentary on the Shiltis. It's very interesting. His brother-in-law wrote the Aruch HaShulchan. The Netziv's sister was married to the Aruch HaShulchan, we said before. So Aruch HaShulchan also wrote and published the commentary on the Shiltas. It's interesting. They both, two brothers-in-law, I don't think they negotiated on this together. I think each one on his own decided to write a commentary on the Shiltas. The Netziv is the famous one. And Aruch HaShulchan's I never saw. He refers to it. Every so often, Aruch HaShulchan refers to it. And the title page of his Sefer, it says his name, Michal Epstein, author of the commentary on the Shiltas, but I never saw the commentary. So the Netziv writes when he completed his commentary on the Shiltas, he had a question: should he recite Shachyonu? He's very excited. He finished writing a sefer. Do you recite Shachyonu when you complete writing a sefer? So he writes he's going to have to run through all of Shas to see when the Gemara says he says Shachyonu. So he knew all of Shas. Okay. As a teenager, he was a young teenager at the time. So he runs through Shas every time the Gemara says he says Shachyanu and tries to figure out what the klolim are. I think the common practice, most people have the practice, you do not say Shachyanu when you complete writing a sefer. One of my talmidim, learned by me many years ago, he's in business now, he sells toys. So he lives in Eretz Yisrael. So he just wrote a sefer, just published it. So he called me up on the phone, he wants to know, do you say Shachyanu when you finish writing a sefer? So I said, I didn't say Shachyam. I think the common practice is you don't say Shachyam. So Lemaisa, when we say Kiddush the first night of Sukkot, we end off with Shachyanu. So the Shachyanu has a triple function. The din is on every Yom to be say Shachyanu, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right after Kol Nidre, everybody's going to say Shachyanu and Shul. And if the women said Shachianu when they benched licht on Erev Yom Kippur, then in Shul they shouldn't say Shachianu when a second time. The Shachianu that they said by Hadlokas Haneris is the Shachianu on the Yontif. You don't say Shachianu on the Hadlokas Haneris. So, strictly speaking, you can say Shachianu, I'm Rafi Lebashuk. You can say Shachianu like on Leil Yom Kippur. You don't say Shachianu over a cup of wine. Say Shachianu over the Yontif. So you can do the same on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot Rosh Hashanah as well. But the Gemara says, if you'll save the Shachianu till the end of the Kiddush, it will give it more hashivas. It will have the significance of a bracha ala kos. He made a toast to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he had a lechayim, and he said Shachianu ala yayin, ala kos. But that's why we save the Shachianu till we say Kiddush. So the Shachianu on the first night of Sukkot is number one on the Yontif. On every Yontif we say Shachianu. Number two, and the reason why there's Shechyanu is one of the Rishonim said the Gemara has a suffix in Erev and Daf Mem. He says Shechyanu, you mukhiv to say Shechyanu, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. What about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, Toshma, that you do say Shechyanu. So the Rabbeinu Yohanes in Milunel has a commentary on Erevin. I think it's Rabbeinu Yohanes in Milunel. So he says, what do you mean? They didn't know what they say Shechyanu. What did they do last year? Nobody remembers what they said Shechyanu. So the Gemara makes it clear, no. It's a reshus to say Shachianu that we know. And they probably did say Shachianu last year, but they want to know, is it a chayva? Shachianu over a pre-chadosh, the Gemara says, it's only a reshus. It's not a chayva. So the Gemara said, Shachianu on Shalosh Regalim is a chayva. Shachianu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that was the shayla. Is it a reshus like pre-chadosh? Or is it a chayva like Pesach Shavuot Sukkot? What's the issue? What's the reshus of a chayva? So the Rabbeinu Yohanes explains, the Gemara Safik was, Shechyanu should be connected with a Chayva Simcha. So Pesach Shavuot Sukkot says, Samachta B'chagecha. Samachta B'chagecha says on Sukkot. But all the Shalosh Regalim are Hukshu Ahadadi. So all three of them, all Shalosh Regalim, there's a Chayv Simcha. So we understand they say Shechyanu because there's a Chayv Simcha. Is there a Chayv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur or not? That was the Shaila. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that yes, the Shechyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a Chayva. He Mukhib to say Shechyanu. So first of all, the Shachyanu by the Kiddush is a Shachyanu on Shalosh Regalim, on Sukkot. It's a Chayva because of the Chayva Simcha. Number two, whenever there's a mitzvah, Bo Mizman, Mizman, I haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Yeshiva Sukkot since almost a year ago. I sat in Sukkot all the 7 days of Sukkot. So whenever you have the mitzvah, Bo Mizman, Mizman, then you say Shachyanu. So the Shachyanu goes on Yeshiva B'Sukkot also. And What if a person is stuck somewhere the first night of Sukkot? There's no Sukkot. He can't eat in Sukkot. And then he only gets to sit in Sukkot on Chol HaMoed Sukkot. Then even though he said Shechyanu the first night of Sukkot, that was Shechyanu on the Yom Tov. Now he has to say again Shechyanu. It's the first time. If he didn't have a Sukkot, let's say the wind blew down the Sukkot, wind destroyed all the Sukkot in the city. And you can't build the Sukkot on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to build the Sukkot on Yom Tov. So he can't fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah. Somebody builds the Sukkah on Chol HaMoed and he sits in Sukkah for the first time. He says again, Shachyanu. The first Shachyanu he said on Leil Yom Tov was on the Yom Tov. Now he said Shachyanu on the mitzvah of Sukkah that he hasn't fulfilled in the past year. And then the Gemara says, Oysa Sukkah le'atzmo, says Shachyanu. That's what the Ramach writes in Halsagos HaRamach that I just mentioned before. The Rabbi Gifter wrote me, he never heard of that one. That he said, that's a Shachyanu. If you... Am I eating in the shul sukkah? Am I eating in the neighbor's sukkah? Am I eating in my own sukkah? If I'm going to eat in my own sukkah, I really should have said Shechyanu when I built the sukkah. Like, Habayna Bayis Chodesh. HaKodah Bayis Chodesh. He says Shechyanu. Oh, yes, I have a mate. It's going to be shared with other people. If you use it only for yourself, then you say Shechyanu. And so you really should have said Shechyanu when you built the sukkah. And if you didn't say Shechyanu then you can say Shachyanu the first time you eat in the sukkah. So when you eat in your own sukkah, the first night of sukkahs, you're saying one Shachyanu, it serves three different purposes. You don't have to say three times the same bracha. You yotze with one Shachyanu, the three different chiyuvim. He's saying Shachyanu because it's yontif, sukkahs, even Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, it's a chayvet to say Shachyanu because of the simcha, the mitzvah of simcha. He's saying Shachyanu because of the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. It's a mitzvah, bom is man, once every year you sit in sukkah. Then you say Shachyanu because it's a bayis liatzma, bayis liatzma. It's not like a doghouse, not like underwear. and has chashivas because you're going to use it for the mitzvah. So that's the third shechianim. Let's say a lot of times all the children are married and the first days of Yontif, we eat by the children, we eat in their sukkah. Then we're going to go back to our own home on Chol HaMoed because we're going to sit in our own sukkah. So we already said shechianu, the first night of sukkahs, but we'll be only, I'd say, two aspects. We'll be, I'd say, the shechianu of the Yontif and the shechianu of the mitzvah of sukkah. Mitzvah bar mitzvah mitzvah. We didn't yet fulfill the chorah. We didn't yet fulfill the mitzvah Saint Shechiana on our own sukkah. We just put up our own. We don't have a sukkah that lasts from year to year. We took down the sukkah and then we built it again the week before sukkahs. So you have to say Shechiana. If the sukkah stands from year to year, you don't say Shechiana. But if you take it apart and you put it back together again every year, then you really should say Shechiana. So if the first 2 days of sukkahs we were by the children in California, and then for the last days of Chol HaMoed, we come back to sit in our own sukkah. We really ought to say another shechianu, the shechianu on the asiyas hasukkah, because like a bane bais liatzma. So that's a big machlokes in Rishayim. Let's go to the Shulchan Aruch. What's the machlokes? The Gemara has on the very last daf in Maseches Sukkah. The Gemara has a machlokes, the last Amud Aleph. The Masechta ends with Amud Beis. I think it's Nun Vav Amud Beis. So Nun Vav Amud Aleph, I think it is. The Gemara has a machlokes Amaroi. When you say Kiddush the first night of Sukkot, what's the order of the brachas? So you say first Bar Piagof, and then you say Kiddush. And then you have to say Shechianu and Leishet Basukkah. Which do you say first? Which do you say second? So it's a machlokes Amaroi. Well, the Sukkah v'chakar Zman. So the bracha, what we call the bracha shachyanu, the Gemara calls the bracha of zman. So they say first sukkah and then zman, and they say first zman and then sukkah. So the Gemara says, psak v'ilchasa, sukkah v'chakar zman. He says shachyanu last. Okay. So the rush there in a group of other Rishonim say, this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, when do you say sukkah v'chakar zman? That's only the first night of sukkahs. But the second night of sukkahs, you reverse the order. Why? So when you learn the Gemara, the last stuff in sukkah, the machlokes, what do you say first sukkah v'chakar zman? Zman v'chakar sukkah. So the Gemara gives totally different explanation. The Gemara doesn't say what I'm about to say. The Rosh has up a tradition from early Rishonim, and a whole group of Rishonim came up with this tradition. They must have had not only from Surah and Pumbedisa, they had tradition. That's what Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Soloveitchik's son, published such a suggestion. There must have been a third yeshiva in Bavel, and the Chachmei, the Balei HaTesa, must have had tradition. They're so insistent on their traditions, they're going to paskan against the first Mishnah in Brachas. The first Sugi in Brachas says you can't be Yotzi Krishma till Tzesekhov. They say we don't paskan like the Mishnah because of their tradition. They were so convinced of their traditions. Here also, a whole group of Rishonim had a tradition, a whole story that doesn't say in the Gemara, that the reason why you say Sukkah v'chakar zman is because the Shechianu goes back on the Yontif, it's the Shechianu on the Yontif, and it's the Shechianu on the Mitzvah of Sukkah. But the second night of Sukkahs, we already were Yotzei the Shechianu on the Sukkah. We just need the Shechianu on the Yontif, because of the Sfeik of the Yom, and maybe yesterday was Erev Yontif. While we're in Chutz Lars, why do we observe Yontif Sheni Shel Golias? So originally, now we became Bikriya Diyarcha. So there is no Sveika Diyarcha. But the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael sent the letter when they established the Luach during the lifetime of Abai V'Rabba, who lived in Bavel. So their counterparts who lived in Eretz Yisrael were the ones who fixed the calendar. So from now on, we know exactly when Yontif is. So the Shaila was, should we still observe Yontif Sheni Shel Golias? So the Gemara says at the beginning of Beitza, Shulchan Mitan, they sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, either a letter, a psak, or orally, whatever, they sent a message, I don't know whether it's b'ksav or b'alpeh, Yizor b'minig ha'avasech ha'midech, you should still continue to observe Yontem Sheini Shalkolis, even though today there's no Sveik HaDiyan, but we treat it as if it would have been a Sveik HaDiyan. So we say Kiddush the second night, what are you saying Kiddush the second night? We act as if it's a Sveik HaDiyam, and maybe the first day was Erev Yontif, maybe only the second day is Yontif. So you got to say Shechianu again. Maybe yesterday was Erev Yontif. You don't have to say Shechianu again on the Asiyas HaSukkah, because if he would have said Shech Yonu at the time that we constructed the Sukkah, we would have been Yoytzei. So if you say it in between this man of Asiyas HaSukkah and the Kiyama Mitzvah, that's a machlokes in the Rishonim. So many Rishonim hold that if you would have said Shech Yonu B'Shas Asiyah, I'm building a wrong Sukkah, it would have been Yoytzei. If you say Shech Yonu, when you sit in the Sukkah, you're Yoytzei. So anytime in between, also you're Yoytzei. And other Rishonim say, no, you're not Yoytzei. You're only Yoytzei Shech Yonu on the Asiyas HaSukkah. Our Bryce over here, if you said the Shachana, either Bishas Asiya or Bishas Kiyam HaMitzvah. So when you sat in Sukkah the first night, that's we treated like a Sveka Diyam, and maybe you weren't Yotze anything. Maybe that was Erev Sukkahs, and tonight is the first night of Sukkahs. So many Rishonim have this tradition that the second night of Sukkahs, you reverse the order of the last two brachas. Instead of following what it says in the Gemara, the last Nun Vav and Menach, the last Amud Aleph in Masechah Sukkah, the Sukkah v'chakach Zman, you reverse the order and say Zman v'chakach Sukkah. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the modern Poskim, the Vilna Gaon and the Litvish Poskim, not these Rishonim that we never heard of, there are a whole bunch of Rishonim, they're not famous. Maybe during their generation they were the Gedolei Hador, but they're not so famous, not so popular today. So Rav Soloveitchik said all of the Litvish do not reverse the Lithuania. They didn't reverse the Seder. They did like the Mishnah Berurah said. You say the same way you said the first night, you say the second night in the Kiddush. First you say the Sukkah v'chakach Zman. So what's the issue? The issue is if you say Shech Yonu in between Asiyas HaSukkah and Yeshiva B'Sukkah, are you Yoytzei or not? So if you only were Yoytzei, then the Shech Yonu that you're saying the second night is only on the Yontif. It doesn't go back on Asiyas HaSukkah. So then these Rishonim said, you should reverse the order. And the others, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Litvish Ipsak, that you don't reverse the order. Why? That you're not Yoytzei if you said Shech Yonu in between. So that's the question. Let's say we were in California by our children, the first days of Sukkah, so we said Shech Yonu there. So that Shech Yonu was good on the mitzvah of Sukkah. We haven't fulfilled in a year. That Shech Yonu goes on the Yom Tov, the Simchas Yom Tov. Does that Shech Yonu go on Oisus Sukkah Liatzma? I built my Sukkah in New York. So I'm saying Shech Yonu, not Bishas Hasiyah, and not Bishas the first time I'm sitting in Sukkah in California, by my children in California. Am I Yoytzei that Shech Yonu that I should have said on Asiyas HaSukkah that I made in New York? So the common practice is a lot of people eat the first night of Sukkah by somebody else, or eat the shul, and then the rest of Sukkahs they eat in their own Sukkah. So do they say Shech Yonu? Again, common practice is you don't say Shech Yonu. It should really depend on that major machlokes of Rishonim. Okay. Well, in that, after Yonta, we'll have to wrap up the Gemara. We're spending an awful lot of time on this Gemara. It's a lot of rich topics here. I want to wish everybody a Gmach Sima Toiva, a good Yontif. I think Amatzoi Yom Kippur, they have me scheduled to give a shir on Zoom on the Dinim of Sukkah. Because they quote the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch that the proper practice is that right after you eat Amatzoi Yom Kippur, you should begin making your Sukkah. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon that after he ate Amatzoi Yom Kippur, he said to the Talmidim, let's go make a Sukkah. So he said, what do you mean? Said, let's go learn Masechah Sukkah. So he ran through the whole Masechah Sukkah. So they started this practice in Yeshiva, did every year for many, many years already. I give a shir on Hilchas Sukkah. So it's going to be on Zoom. I'm sure they're going to announce what time it is. Very good. Okay. On Monday night and Tuesday night, I gave two different shiurim on Inyanei Yom Kippur. So those were available online. Maybe Mayor Finkelstein can make it available for everyone who's interested. Then I gave a shiur on the Seder HaAvodah on Yom HaKippurim that was shown in Eretz Yisrael on the OU website. So I'm sure you can download that also. Someone, one of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael sent me an email. He enjoyed the shiur very much. I'm sure you would enjoy it too. So have a good Yom Kippur.